Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Rolling right along here on this Friday morning. It is Taz and the Moose with you, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, make sure to mortgage confidently. Can't play a talking number to call 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Cap and Pete the Body across the way other side at the controls. AB with your updates as we take you 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 6 Pacific right here on CBS Sports Radio. Sirius 206 XM 206, Sirius XM app channel 206 as well. As we talked a lot about the NBA draft and a couple other NBA notes before we move on to some NFL news. And that is, number one is the San Antonio Spurs. We talked about the meeting that Greg Popovich and Kawhi Leonard had out in the Southern California area. Reportedly, Kawhi Leonard was there with some sort of representation as well. It wasn't a mano meeting with Popovich, Taz. And Kawhi Leonard made it be known that he wants out of San Antonio. So the Spurs have taken some calls. One team that did call, and that is the Laker faithful, and that is the Los Angeles Lakers, who made the call to San Antonio to inquire about the possibility of acquiring Kawhi Leonard, yeah, and yeah. Reportedly that conversation went absolutely nowhere.
I mean, now let me ask you a question, and just your opinion. Do you think if it went somewhere, they would let... You don't think that would leak out? You think that maybe it's kind of like keeping it under... You think it would,
I think that's what I'm wondering. I think when Ramona Shelbourne reports it, she's very, very locked in to Jenny Buss and the Lakers that if there was something, not saying that the framework would be worked out, but I mean, the idea basically that San Antonio had no interest in talking to the Lakers and did not want to talk about any kind of parameters of what would make a deal work between the two organizations.
Right.
You might be right. I mean,
I'm just wondering.
But,
I don't know.
You know, doesn't it serve, let me ask you this, doesn't it serve the Spurs better for that conversation to go well? Conceivably speaking.
I would think so.
Because wouldn't they rather have it come out and say, oh, yeah, we talked to the Lakers.
That's
because
what
then
I'm
all
saying,
of a sudden,
yeah.
Boston, right. But
it didn't come out like that. Yeah.
No, it didn't come out like that. So I do believe the report that okay. didn't really
that's
go anywhere.
Thought,
I mean, that's
yeah.
the way I look at it. But, I mean, you could look at it however way you want to look at it. Here's one thing. I don't think San Antonio wants to trade him to Los Angeles.
Right.
I don't.
No.
I don't think they have any interest in trading him there.
No, I don't blame him. I mean, and now for Kawhi, gee whiz. I mean, was it north of $200 million or something? Wasn't the full deal in that somewhere in that realm, right?
Yeah.
That's insanity, dude.
Well, I mean, it's a supermax contract.
Yeah, he's
not
happy. I mean,
right. He wants another challenge. Whatever. The lack of trust, the relationship issue with Tony Parker and Greg Popovich, the injury, the way it was handled by the Spurs medical staff. You've run down a litany of possible reasons why Leonard's gone sour on the Spurs.
And we had David Robinson in here yesterday in studio with us, who was great. Great
fantastic,
guest.
Great guy.
A great player. And if you missed that, sit down. You could get that on Apple Podcasts. Taz and Moose podcast drops every day for free. So if you guys are listening and you want to maybe catch David with us, it was great. Great insight to the Spurs and his career and all that stuff. But anyway, David Robinson was like, you could feel like he wanted everything to work out with Kawhi and San Antonio, you know?
Yeah.
That's the vibe he gave.
Well, I mean, sure he does.
Yeah, he's
a legendary Spur. He wants the San Antonio Spurs to be relevant. He also said, Kawhi is very quiet, hasn't really said basically three or four things to him
weird.
In the span of 5 or 6 years.
Yeah,
so
that was weird.
That's it. Now, other guys, and I'm not going to hold that. There's guys that are quiet. Some guys are quiet. Some guys are loquacious, outspoken, and very. Leonard's never come across as that type of a guy, Taz. So,
well, people taking
that's a
shots
little
at him.
Strange, though.
Dude, people were taking shots at him left and right. We covered it here. Within that organization, coaches, players were, publicly, I mean, Pop wasn't exactly putting him over while he was out. Well, you got to check with his teammates. You got to ask him. Ask him about how his team. I'm paraphrasing, but.
Nah, he's ticked off.
Yeah, he was ticked.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe, I don't know, Kawhi Leonard from a hole in the wall, but maybe. That's the issue. Maybe Kawhi is like, you know what? The hell with this. You know, I was out with this quad injury, and, you know, their doctors cleared me. I didn't feel right. I don't know. I guess his doctors didn't clear. Whatever it was, and my team and my coaches are punking me out and dissing me and stuff. He probably is like, the hell with this. I'm out.
And you might be right about that. I think there are a number of different issues, but I think that's one that we discussed yesterday. I think it's a fair take. If you missed the Robinson interview yesterday, you can check it out on Apple Podcast, iTunes, radio.com, and give it a listen. Fantastic. Here's a cut from it, talking about the relationship between the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard. Do you think the relationship between Kawhi Leonard, Popovich, and RC Buford, do you think it's repairable?
Absolutely. I mean, I think they have a good relationship. But the problem is when, you know, you don't talk every day, you know, and all of a sudden, okay, I'm hearing from this person or right, I'm hearing from this person, and I want to hear from you. I want to know what's going on, and we want to sit down. So I think that was part of the challenge, and you know, I do think it's repairable. I still think that there is a good relationship there. I still think that there's a, you know, I think in a, you know, I'm maybe a little bit on the outside looking in as more so than before, but I think between Pop and Kawhi, you know, there's a high level of respect there both ways.
We can't give away this much.
You know, when there is that respect, it's repairable.
Well, there you go.
Can't give away too much.
Well,
they won't listen to the podcast.
Well, yeah. Well,
we got to be careful.
But, I mean, it was a full 20-minute interview. We had him on for 18, 19 minutes. We gave you an 18th of the interview right there. Here's R.C. Buford for the San Antonio Spurs basically telling you, we want to keep Leonard here.
Kawhi and his family mean a lot to our organization and to the community. And none of us would wish we are where we are. We're going to do what we can to build the best relationship we can with him, and we'll explore all of our options. But the first one would be to do what we can to keep Kawhi as a part of our group.
I'll tell you, Moose, I think they got some regret down there because, like I said before, I think by all the stuff that was said and Popovich met him, to patch things up, all this jazz. I don't know. I don't know Kawhi. You don't know Kawhi. But the thing is, it sounds like people who know Kawhi don't know Kawhi because he's so quiet. The thing is, I think that he's letting his actions be shown right now. I don't want to play for these people. I don't care how much money you have. I have something called pride, and you people talked a lot of trash about me while I was fighting an injury, and you doubted my toughness. You doubted my teamwork. You doubted my integrity. You doubted my intestinal fortitude. And Kawhi's probably like, to hell with you. I'm telling you, that's what I think is going down here.
Yeah, I would not. I think it's everything we discussed yesterday, very similar in nature to what you just mentioned, Taz, in terms of him being bothered by the way that the Spurs were so outspoken when he was hurt, they were questioning his toughness. They were questioning why he wasn't on the court, being cleared by the Spurs medical staff and the like. Now, the Spurs, I'm certainly do have regret because, conceivably speaking, you're looking at a top five player when he's healthy, Taz, in the sport, and you're not going to be able to replace that guy. I don't care what the trade is and who you get back in return. Special players are special players, and Leonard is, when he is healthy, a special player.
Yeah, no, he is a straight-up game changer, and he is a star, superstar. And, look, he couldn't do much a hill of beans this past season because of the injury, but, you know, he's Gonski. If you don't want to be there, your heart's not in it, and he's it's publicly out there, especially from a guy like this that's so private, that he don't want to be there, it's not happening. If he's walking away from over $200 million, forget about it. What are they going to do?
Well, if I'm San Antonio, I'm going to wait and wait and wait some more and hope that maybe time heals all wounds. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
I think that would make it worse, in my opinion.
No, that's fair. I mean, that's fair, but I could always trade him.
Right.
I could always trade
him. True.
I mean, so wherever at that stage, if it gets progressively worse, I mean, if I'm San Antonio, I don't, you know, it's no sweat off my back because he's not going to be playing for me regardless.
True.
Right. So
true.
I just am hoping above hope that maybe cooler heads prevail, time heals all wounds, and I'm able to repair or rebuild the relationship in any way, shape, or form. Because Taz, usually when you trade impact star players, it does not work out for the team that trades said player. Right?
Right. No, you're right.
It did not work out for the Mets when they traded Tom Seaver, did it?
No, no, it did not.
I mean, that's one that Mets fans talk about for years, yes, right? I mean, it did not work out for the Cleveland Cavaliers trading Kyrie Irving.
No, nope.
It did not work out for Minnesota when they traded Kevin Garnett. I mean, you go up and down the line.
On, yeah.
Right. So it's not going to work out. I don't believe it'll work out for San Antonio. That's why you have to wait. But they might hit the point where they've got no other choice, that they have to trade Kawhi Leonard because it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
I think you might be right. And like I said, I think that when you take an athlete, I don't care how great he is or not great, you take an athlete that has a substantial, decent, whatever you want to call it, body of work,
right,
and has some sweat equity involved, and then, you know, you keep saying, well, his team, check with his team. I don't know. You got to check with his team. I don't know. And you publicly are burying him, and you publicly are ripping him. You publicly are knocking him. And everybody praises Popovich, and Pop's great. He's a great coach, no doubt. But I got to tell you, I know you're frustrated, but, you know, it's great for the media and guys like us to sink our teeth in when Pop says stuff like that. But you know what? Kawhi Leonard don't give a rat's rear end about the media. He cares about his integrity and how he looks to the public, and he's punking them out. Pop and his teammates, what's his name, Ginobili too, they were punking him out. And his team, who's Kawhi's team? It's his uncle and his agent. It's two guys.
Right.
And one's a family member. So, I mean, like, I you know, to me, as a former athlete, they questioned his toughness publicly and punked him. And that's probably why this kid is like, forget, well, he's like 26 years old, right? 25?
25.
He's young.
Yeah.
Forget it, man. They should have hushed up a little bit publicly. Seriously.
The big non-surprising move yesterday was surrounding Dwight Howard in the Brooklyn Nets is that after, and this can't all become official until July 6th, obviously, but after the trade with the Charlotte Hornets and with Timofey Mozgov, 2 second-round picks and cash go down to Charlotte, and Dwight Howard, $23.8 million, is coming his way this year. Is that Brooklyn, conceivably speaking, working out a buyout for Dwight Howard, right? 8-time All-Star, averaged 16-12 this past season for the Hornets. Reportedly, the team couldn't stand him. I mean, they just could not stand him on a day-in, day-out basis in that locker room. And he is – it's not all that surprising. I mean, we discussed it yesterday for Brooklyn. I mean – maybe at some point in time, if you're Brooklyn, maybe if he has a good year, you could trade him come the trade deadline. But for their perspective, they don't want anything to get in the way of them developing their young players either. So they get out from underneath the Mozgov deal. It cost them a couple second-round draft choices moving forward, Taz. You bring Dwight Howard aboard. You buy him out
right, to
get rid of the personality. So it enables you next offseason to sign 2 max players, and it doesn't get in the way of you developing players.
It gets a cancer in the locker room. That's gone.
That's gone. And now for Howard, the question is, what veteran team would bring Dwight Howard aboard? Would there be a veteran team that would bring Dwight Howard aboard and say, maybe you could help us win?
Right. Well, I mean, listen, that's the thing. And we talked about this yesterday, too. Like, that whole locker room thing, and you laid it out great, man. I mean, they have a young squad there, and now you get rid of a guy like this who, it seems like everywhere he's been, he's a journeyman at this point in his career. He's been to a plethora of spots, and no one likes him. No one wants him. I mean, so we'll see what happens in Brooklyn, you know, really.
I think they'll buy him out. I think he'll then hit free agency, and then you look at it and see exactly where Dwight Howard lands. Would the Golden State Warriors give it a run?
What is he doing in the locker room, Moose? Do we know? Is he like making fun of people? Is he like ripping people's underwear when they're in the shower? Like, what is he doing?
I don't know exactly
like putting,
what he's doing.
Sand in someone's sneakers? Like, what is he doing?
Well, I mean,
he's thinking, like ribs.
Right.
He's ribbing
I mean,
people.
We've all met. We've all met douches in our life,
douches
right?
Douches and jokesters.
Right. So I would imagine there's probably a litany of things that Dwight Howard does to rub people the wrong way.
Douchey stuff.
I'm sure.
Okay.
I could tell you. I don't know. I'm not in there on a day-in, day-out basis. Kobe Bryant couldn't stand him.
I know.
I mean, Greg Popovich yelled at him during an All-Star game because he wasn't paying attention when he was on the bench. And Popovich is trying to draw up a play at the end of the game to try and win the game for the West.
He's like he's in middle school.
And he's not paying attention. He's staring into the stands. I mean, so I'm sure there's a lot of different things like that, Taz.
Yeah, he's just like...
Because imagine if you're a player and you're looking at a guy that has got all the God-given ability in the world doesn't dedicate himself, you're busting your rear end, right, to gain a foothold in the league. You're doing everything that you possibly can. And you got some other guy that's just basically not paying attention or doing his job, and you're trying to win games.
He's mailing it in.
Trying to win games. Yeah. Listen, he's a guy that last year averaged 16 and 12. There's a lot of guys that would be ecstatic to average 16 and 12 in the NBA regular season. That's what he gave you. And we're talking about the fact he's never fulfilled his potential. He's an 8-time All-Star.
I know. He's done a lot.
If you were Golden State, would you bring him in?
No. No,
I no wouldn't. Shot.
No, man. Because
if you're the Houston Rockets, would you bring him in?
The Golden State thing, no way, man. They got perfection there right now. You don't want nothing messing with
All right, but or you could say if I bring Howard aboard.
Rockets maybe.
But I could say if I'm Golden State, my clubhouse or my locker room's so strong that maybe
they would corral it
and get Howard to buy in.
I wouldn't do it, though. You don't mess with perfection.
All right,
dude.
What about if you're...
Rockets, I might do.
Okay, if you're the Toronto Raptors, if you're the Boston Celtics.
Celtics I wouldn't do either because they have such
How about Raptors?
Raptors.
How about the Cavaliers?
Rapido. The Cavaliers, well, it depends. Is LeBron going to be there or not?
Well, that's the big thing.
If LeBron's gone?
If LeBron's there.
No. LeBron will punch him in the face. Yeah, that won't work. There'll probably be a fist fight. I already got these. They might be best friends. I got them having a fist fight.
It would be interesting. He's going to land somewhere. Dwight Howard, whether you hate him or not, I mean, is going to land somewhere next year in the NBA. But in all likelihood, it's not going to be in Brooklyn.
What about you? Would you put him on Golden State? I wouldn't.
Would I put him on Golden State? I might.
Really? Dude, they got everything rocking and rolling. Why would you do that?
Well, because if I'm putting Zaza Pachulia on that team, and could I get some production out of Dwight Howard? Here's what I'm thinking, Taz. He's at the end of his career. He's made a lot of money. He's been in a number of different spots.
Low money Jones.
I'm not going to cost me and a leg.
Yep, yep.
If I bring him aboard at the veteran minimum and he doesn't buy in, I could cut his rear end just as quickly. And maybe, just maybe, if I can get a year of him buying in, changes the dynamic of our team. We've got to 4 straight NBA finals. We won 3. We're trying to win 4 and 5. But would that be a gamble? They brought veterans aboard. I'm telling you, it's not going to cost you anything. You're looking at a veteran minimum.
The only risk, you're right, you could cut them. Everything you said is...
Get rid of them.
Everything you said is right. But you do run the risk of pissing off a Kevin Durant or Steph Curry. What if they say, dude, what are you guys doing here?
Okay, well, here's the one thing I would do. If I was Bob Myers, I would sit down with Curry, Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and say, here's what we got. We are thinking about bringing Dwight Howard aboard.
Right.
You guys, what's your thoughts?
Well, that's a different story. If you do that.
I would have that conversation, and if Kevin Durant says, I want no part of it, I'm not bringing him aboard.
If we could circle back to the draft last night, the NBA draft, I wonder, I'll give you a conspiracy theory.
Right.
We talked about how... was on the set, and how he reacted when Zaire Smith got pulled into to the Suns,
right?
When he got drafted, and we saw his reaction live. He had no idea. He was open holiday, like we said, right? How do we know he don't? Maybe he was like, yo, what are we doing? Maybe behind the scenes. I know he's new. He's the first pick, and maybe he was talking with the Suns, saying, "Well, I'm just surprised you guys went that route." Maybe you never know what he said.
You never know.
Players have pull, man, especially a kid that's your first pick who's going to be a difference maker down your Ayton. You know
right.
I mean?
True.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Dude,
maybe. But I don't know if I'm going to give him that kind of pull that early. Probably his reaction to it. I think he probably wanted holiday. And I think his head was probably spinning. Did you see the amount of things he did?
He did everything.
After he was drafted?
Yeah, I know. He really.
Before he went on the set to do that interview, I was tired just looking at it.
I know, he was
doing
a lot
of stuff.
After
he got drafted, he did TV, radio, press conference. Then he's walking with kids. He's doing stuff in the hallways.
Everything.
He's walking through the Brooklyn Bridge. He's doing like basically anything and everything.
I saw the Brooklyn Bridge.
Hey, did you remember that? He walked through
thing.
That? I was sitting there. I'm like, what is DeAndre Ayton not doing at that stage? He probably sat there. He's like, can I get a water? I'm exhausted.
Dude, I'm telling you, something was a little fugazi with the timing of that.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS, your number to call, 855-212-4227. AB is in the house. Good morning, Andrew.
Moose, Taz, good morning again. So the Cleveland...
Hey, pal. Sorry.
So the Cleveland Cavaliers had the eighth pick in last night's draft in Brooklyn. They used it on Alabama guard Colin Sexton, who can't wait to play with LeBron. LeBron.
It means a whole lot just because he's one of the best players that ever played basketball. And just being able to come in and learn from him, it'll be big for me and big for my growth.
No one tells Sweet Colin that LeBron's probably leaving, although GM Kobe Altman did say last night there's been, quote, good dialogue between himself and LeBron's team. LeBron has to officially opt out of his current contract next week. There was a minor Kawhi Leonard update last night as well. Spurs GM R.C. Buford telling reporters he remains hopeful they can keep Leonard. Now back to the draft, and the Suns using the first number one pick in team history on Arizona 7-footer DeAndre Ayton. The Hawks and Mavericks made the first trade of the night with Luka Doncic ending up in Dallas, Trae Young in Atlanta. The Magic took Texas big man Mo Bamba at number 6. The Nuggets took the Michael Porter Jr. gamble at 14. And the Suns took late riser Zaire Smith 16th, but then traded the Texas Tech guard to the Sixers for Mikal Bridges. Second round highlights include the Knicks rolling the dice on Mitchell Robinson. He didn't play college basketball last season. And the T-Wolves took Ohio State star Kata Bates-Diop. The Nets and Dwight Howard working on that buyout even before Dwight's trade from Charlotte is actually official. Howard says he just wants a clean slate with a chance to help a team win. He's owed nearly $24 million for the coming season. Jameis Winston reportedly going to be suspended to start the coming season. It's likely 3 games, but could be more or could be less. Winston is accused of groping a female Uber driver in March 2016, but the actual violation in terms of NFL policy might be failing to alert the league of the incident. No tie this morning atop the NL Central. The Brewers thumped the Cardinals 11-3 as the Cubs were losing in Cincinnati.
1-0 pitch, swing, drive, right center field. This ball is hit well. This ball is gone! Grand slam home run off the bat of Jesse Winker.
Grand salami.
And the Reds take the lead.
And salami. Why is no one saying grand salami?
As heard on Reds radio, they led 5-1. They won 6-2. Matt Harvey got the win.
Grand salami Jones.
Yeah.
Matt Harvey got the win last night. The Nats dropped the O's 4-2. Arizona a 9-3 W in Pittsburgh. The Giants shut out the Padres 3-0 in Anaheim, top Toronto 8-5. And the Islanders hired Barry Trotz as head coach
good
yesterday.
Good hire right there, kids. That's a good hire for the Islanders.
It comes 3 days after he resigned in Washington and 2 weeks after he and the Caps won
Sometimes
the Stanley
I feel
Cup.
Like I work alone here. I don't know.
What do you mean?
It's a good hire.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I said at the time. When we talked about him leaving Washington,
I respect your hockey. Bro.
No, I said it that morning when it happened. I said I thought he was going to get hired by now. Let's
hire.
Do a memory lane,
all
shall
right,
we?
You got it.
We can go back. Yes, I agree with you. I think it's a good hire.
Yeah.
And not all that surprised. He was looking to get paid. He's going to get paid by Lamoriello, who's a fantastic executive.
Yes.
Devils, then Maple Leafs, and now going to the Islanders as they're going to be building a new arena. In quick short order, out at beautiful Belmont Park. And so they'll get out of Brooklyn, and they'll be back on Long Island to an extent.
Strong Island.
Trotz, a good hire. 55 years of age, went down to Washington, achieved the goal, won a Stanley Cup, and the Islanders have got an interesting offseason. Transition in leadership, Lamoriello in, Garth Snow out, Doug Waite out, Barry Trotz in. And now they've got to figure out exactly what's going to happen with John Tavares, who's a top 7 or 8 player in the sport.
91
and
Jones.
Where John Tavares is going to, if he ends up back with the Islanders or he ends up someplace else.
Yeah, I think he's going to stay with the Isles, in my opinion. I do.
Yeah, he might. I mean, a couple of people have told me that. That they think he's gone, but
really?
We'll see. Yeah,
you sound like you got a little inside track. Like you got your sources.
A little bit. Yeah, that they think he's gone. I mean, a lot of Islander fans believe he's gone as well. But yeah, that he wants to go play back up in Canada. But we'll see. Maybe the acquisition and not the acquisition, the signing of Lamoriello and the signing of Barry Trotz. Maybe that changes it. If it does, that'd be great for the Islanders. So great field is headed to Cromwell, Connecticut to take on TPC River Highlands, fresh off his impressive win. U.S. Open champ Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed, plus some big hitters looking to bounce back, including Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, and defending champion Jordan Spieth, who holed out of a bunker last year for the win. The Travelers Championship this weekend only on CBS. Let's get to a little World Cup update.
Before we do that, can I read a little social media post?
Sure.
The Kingsman, big fan of the Taz Show and Taz and the Moose. Coming up next on Taz and the Moose, a World Cup update, maybe picks from the Greek.
Yes.
Will Mark Melusis get the big payday, or is he feeding the family souvlaki on a stick? Tune in now. Look at the Kingsman. He's like,
there you go.
Man, he's like Promotion Jones.
Wow, did he get the rundown this morning?
I don't know. Maybe he did.
Maybe he did.
All these mocks stick together. Kingsman's a mock. Pete the Body's a mock. They're all wrestling fans. They're all mocks.
Very nice job. Kingsman's all over it. Let's get to a little World Cup update.
Taz and the Moose present the World Cup Roundup.
There you go.
There it is.
Cantor, fantastic job. As the Greek did give you a winner yesterday, or Argentina and Croatia over 2 goals. 3-0 Croatia victory. And that is a victory.
I think I called that, too.
That is a win.
I called
win,
that was going to happen.
Win, win, the Greek.
I think I
firing out winners left and right in the World Cup.
Who else you got? That's it?
What do you mean?
That's the update?
No, that's not that. No, I got to talk about today's matches. Australia, Denmark ended up in a 1-1 draw.
Can I help? Can I
yeah,
help?
Sure. France knocked
France
off
and
Peru.
Right? And then you got the Argentinian against the Croatia.
That was yesterday, right? 3-0 victory for Croatia.
Well, you just upcutted me. Today, Brazil, your team, will play Costa Rica. And you got Nigeria at 1,600 hours against Iceland.
Right.
I'll let you take the last one.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I had the Switzerland. No. You got Switzerland versus Siberia?
Serbia. That's Serbia.
Right.
Costa Rica, 5 Pacific. For just the guy at the water cooler that would actually like to watch the matches. 11 a.m. this morning Eastern time, 8 Pacific. It's Nigeria and Iceland. And then 2 p.m. Eastern time this afternoon, 11 Pacific. It's Serbia and Switzerland. So
don't just say Switzerland, Moose. You got to say Switzerland.
Yes, there you go. I'll leave it. So here we go. The Greek selection for this Friday. I do not.
Oh.
I do not.
Gio does that.
Yes, he does. He does.
Works locally here in New York.
No doubt about it. The Greek selection today is going to be Serbia knocking off Switzerland.
Wow.
In their match. So Serbia right now, you look at it, Brazil's an overwhelming favorite, minus 500 against Costa Rica's plus 1,500. Brazil looking to get back to second match in group play for them. The betting favorite coming into the tournament. Brazil is an overwhelming favorite. So, but that's too big of a number to lay. Nigeria and Iceland, Nigeria plus 195, Iceland plus 165. The Greek selection today is Serbia, who right now is plus 175 against Switzerland, who's plus 190 to win their match. The Greek coming off a win yesterday, over 2 goals with the match with Argentina.
Right,
scored 3 goals in that match, so Argentina loses, but you win. And the day before was a draw, flat-footed draw. Did a three-team parlay, laying a goal. All three teams won. But they all won by just a goal. So, Greek looking to make it 2 days in a row. He said, for your betting pleasure this afternoon, and that is 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 Pacific, and that is Serbia plus 175.
Well, I'll tell you this. If I could jump fast forward ahead to tomorrow, some of tomorrow's contests, but one game I want to talk about that's interesting is the Korean Republic against Mexico. Now, Mexico, okay, they're legit. Okay, Mexico, they want to make soccer history, said Hermosillo, once Mexico's all-time leading scorer. He said this yesterday, Musso. They want to make history. They want to make soccer history. So, you know, they play Germany, and then they have to play the most important game coming up is against Korea. So
yeah, they beat Germany already.
That's what I said. And that's tomorrow. They're playing Korea.
There you go.
Big game.
Big game for Mexico.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern time, 8 Pacific.
A little surprised that's even competitive. I would think that the team from Mexico would be more dominant. When I think of soccer...
Well, Mexico is the favorite in the match.
They should be. Because
right.
When I think of soccer... I mean, I don't think of Korea. I think Mexico would be better. I just feel like that the heritage, how they grew up, a lot of the young ladies and young men in that great country of Mexico learned how to play the soccer, the football. You know what I mean?
We're going to talk to Vin Parisi, college hoops analyst, Fox Sports and SNY. We're going to join us next as we'll circle back and talk a little bit about the NBA draft. We'll do that next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Rolling right along here on this Friday morning, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's hit the guest line right now, shall we? And let's welcome aboard Vin Parisi. Does a great job covering college basketball. Analyst, Fox Sports, SNY locally here in New York. Vin, good morning, brother. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Vin, what's up, man?
What's up, brother?
All right.
Vin, let's start. A lot of ways you can go. Number one, anything surprise you last night with how the first round played out?
Probably, Moose, how long Porter was still on the board and how he dropped. You know, normally it's us guys in the college hoops world that, you know, want to analyze injuries and talk about how much a guy hasn't played rather than how much he's played. But, you know, for all the reports that were coming back recently about how the medical tests were getting a thumbs up, you know, these scouts and these front office guys, you know, they have so much so many, like, you know, boots on the ground with in terms of their background, you know, that they do and searches. I just thought that they would be okay with that. I mean, listen, the kid has had a unique path. You know, he dominated the AAU circuit in 2016. This time last year was projected probably as the number one pick going into the college hoop season. And then the poor kid scrimmages Kansas in October, November, and then plays, you know, 3 minutes against Iowa State and has to have a surgery for a bulging disc. I never took any, you know, credence out of, you know, how he came back from the injury. Who wouldn't look rusty? But, you know, with all the gifts that this kid has for his size, I just thought someone would take a gamble on him first. But, you know, they were able to play a more conservative guys because this is, you know, you talk to scouts throughout the winter, this was one of the deepest drafts in recent years.
And so, Vin, I want to get your opinion on the whole thing that happened, as you saw with, you know, Mikal Bridges, where, you know, he was initially with the Sixers, yeah, then a little while later he's with the Suns. I mean, Bridges is a plug-and-play guy. He's ready to go. He's ready to play, whereas Aaron Smith, different story. Do you like the move that the Sixers, you know, moved him into getting out of there and traded him, or do you think they should have kept him?
Yeah, I thought that you should have kept him, and not just because of the nostalgic Philadelphia reasons. You know, I covering Bridges so closely at Nova for FS1 with the Big East this past year, you know, he's ready to roll. I mean, this kid, is so ready as a forward, and especially NBA style. When I would bump into scouts at Big East games during the season, you're talking his wingspan is over 7 foot for a 6'7" guy. You know, he has all those old-school Scottie Pippen attributes. He could dribble, pass, shoot for his size. He shot 44% from three-point land. You know, and then they go with a very raw option. I would have even liked Bridges for the Knicks. But, you know, surprising in that sense, considering there were so many young guys, in this draft. Now you got this guy with a little bit more experience under his belt that obviously has to get stronger. But at least you knew what you were getting.
You know, it was interesting. Bagley from Duke, Vin, offensively he's there. He's some athlete. I mean, he's the feet are fantastic. Defensively, some have been critical of his game. Do you think Bagley has the potential here to be even better than what Ayton is on it as an NBA player?
Yeah, I do. Because, you know, he could give you some things that Ayton does. I think, obviously Ayton was the obvious pick. He's obviously, we know what he looks like physically. You know, I mean, he could dominate offensively as a big man. He could, you know, be a lot better defensively in the league than he was in college because, he's able to control the paint more. But I don't know. I mean, could you build around a big man in the NBA the way you did 10 years ago? I don't know. I just think Bagley gives you so many things offensively. And he's so ahead of his age when you talk to scouts during the year offensively. You know, Duke was, you know, like the second or third best offensive team in college basketball this year, and he was by far hands down the best offensive player. So, you know, I think in the league you could find guys, you could hide guys defensively, but think about how many studs guys have been drafted the last couple of years that we said were work in progress offensively as bigs. So to get Bagley to produce right there, you're ahead of the game if you're the Kings.
Hey Vin, so what about Trae Young at Oklahoma? You know, a little bit of a defensive liability. I mean, can he improve enough, get better to the level of, in this NBA level, the elite of the elite, I mean, to not be a problem? I mean, do you think that'll happen for him? You think he has the intangibles to do that?
Yeah, I thought he was, I still think he's the best shooter and passer in this draft. You know, people said that Steph Curry was going to struggle defensively too. I think that this is why head coach hires are so important these days, because I think it's more about your pick and roll schemes defensively and your game plans to hide guys that aren't defensive shutdown guys. I mean, you could probably count on one hand how many times a guy just, you know, they clear out, go 1-4 low, end of the quarter, end of the shot clock, to where you're really truly on an island by yourself. I know we think isolation NBA, but there's always help. There's always a double. There's always pick and roll schemes. I think Trae Young is going to be fine. I actually love the Atlanta Hawks night overall. I think they got the best two shooters in the draft in Trae Young and Herter from Maryland, who could be a great role guy, you know, pick and pop, step out at 6'7", the kid from Maryland. And then look at how they close out the first-round draft with Amari Spellman. I mean, he's your typical NBA center and big now, guy that could step out, face out, and shoot. And, you know, for all the weaknesses that, you know, we could pick and split hairs with these guys, you guys know the NBA now, you got to have perimeter shooting at multiple positions, Golden State Warrior style. And, you know, how could you argue with that if you look at Trae Young and the Hawks last night?
What did you think of Knox with the Knicks?
You know, I like him. I like him. I mean, I'm probably a little self-admittedly jaded because I was such a Bridges fan covering the Big East so closely. But I think when you're able to get a guy that size, 6'9", that's able to put it on the deck, a lot of games in the SEC this year didn't have the greatest offensive shooting nights, but could get to the rim whenever he wants, does so many things athletically. I know people are concerned about, you know, his motor at times, and, you know, John Calipari criticized him a lot that, you know, I don't understand why he can't get more than 5 rebounds per game. But, I mean, this kid is a baby. I mean, this kid is, I mean, he can't even have a beer for another 3 years. So, as we know, Kentucky guys get better in the pros. And, you know, once again, back to the current NBA, you know, the combo forward is the big sexy thing now, to where, you know, if you got a power forward on you, you could step out and bring him away, drag him away. Or, you know, if you got a smaller, thinner guy on you, you could back him in. And, you know, I think he fits both of those criteria. And as we know, that's an area where the Knicks could use some help along the baseline, you know, giving Porzingis a little help.
Final one for me is this, Vin, I want to ask you. I know you're very close and were with Patino L. Louisville, right, and his son and everything like that. Anfernee Simons, who was supposed to go to Louisville, ended up playing at IMG after everything went down with Patino out there in the Cards. What are the Blazers going to get in this 6'3 shooter?
Well, I'll tell you, if you know, just going back to how people talked about him before, as you mentioned, everything went down with Simons. I mean, they loved him. I mean, obviously there's a lot of, you know, question marks there. But before he went to IMG, he was just known as an athletic, explosive offensive player that was going to play a, you know, Pitino-type style where he could get out on the break, you know, and he could score the ball and go. Now, you know, you're a little hidden. You're a little, you know, not as tested now coming out of an IMG situation. So, that, you know, his draft picks today are not going to get high, as higher grades. You know, but I will tell you this, is they develop you at IMG. So, you know, yeah, he could have played a year of college basketball, but, you know, he almost, I almost look at it like he almost had like a, one of those Lance Stephenson, Indiana Pacer early developmental years to where, you know, he was able to get a little bit stronger. He was able to work on the weak hand a little bit. So, you know, I think that that could be a great one. I actually think there's a couple teams, Moose, that did really well late in the first round. I think it talks about the depth of this. Right before his pick, Aaron Holiday, you know, a guard that could play both positions as a combo. So, you know, I think, you know, we're going to talk a lot about the lottery picks today, but I think that mid to late first round has a lot of great action as well.
You know, and I love what Aaron Holiday had to say. He was asked about his toughness. He said, "Well, I got two older brothers.
Right.
They never
oh,
let
yeah,
they,
listen,
he goes, they
you,
never
you
let me win at anything." He goes, "That's how I got tough. I got, but you know what? It taught me a lot growing up."
Yeah, and Moose, listen. By the way, we're talking brothers who are NBA players. We're not talking brothers that are flipping Sicilian pizzas.
And there's nothing wrong with Sicilian pizza, by the way.
No, there's not. But, I mean, in this case, you know, I'll take the guys in the league.
Yeah, me too. Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. That is, I mean, think about that. You got three brothers. They're all in the NBA. That is fantastic. Hey,
that's
Vin,
crazy.
We appreciate the time this morning. We really do. We'll do it again soon. Have a good weekend.
Vin, thanks,
right?
Man.
Moose and Taz, you guys are the best. Thanks so much.
You got it. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. Yeah. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. I love Sicilian pizza.
I love Sicilian pizza.
But
you know what I wish?
If I got a hankering for a slice, though, it's got to be a regular pie.
Yeah, know what I wish? I hear you on that. But I wish one time, and I love Vin Parisi. He's the man. You love him. You know him 10 years.
Yeah.
I just wish one time we had a guest, and when they say, "Moose, Taz, Moose, you guys are the best," I wish it was sincere. People just say that when they're guests on shows.
No, you're being sensitive. Ah,
come on.
We should have went along with the pizza conversation. 855-212-4227.
I'll talk pizza all day. Are you kidding me? What about the guy in Oklahoma? He don't know about Sicilian pizza.
Yes, he does. They have Sicilian pies.
They ain't got no Sicilian pizza in Oklahoma.
So do we have barbecue here in New York?
It's not very good.
But we do.
We do have it.
Thank you. Come back. We'll talk a little draft. We'll do that next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
You're in a 5-minute break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.